Begin the current daf Masechta Sukkah daf Chaf Hey. We begin 10 lines down from the top of the Yamed, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of these first two parakim, discussing the halachas of Sukkah, those who are obligating them. And our Mishnah specifies three cases of when one is exempt from sitting and eating or drinking and doing his chiyuvim in the Sukkah. So the Mishnah begins, Shluchi Mitzvah. A person that's on a mission to do a mitzvah. For example, if someone's on his way to learn Torah or to visit his Rebbe on the Yom Tov or to redeem captives, so then the halach is patur min ha-sukkah. Those individuals that are on the way to do a mitzvah are exempt from the sukkah, and that's even at a time when they're not actually going. When they're going, then they're moving, that's one halacha. But even when they're resting, even then they're considered in the category of shluchei mitzvah, and even then they would be exempt from eating and drinking and sleeping in the sukkah. Second exemption, chaylin u'misham shehen. Somebody that's ill and those who attend to them, patur min ha-sukkah, they're also exempt from the sukkah. And finally, the third case that the Mishnah talks about is oichlin v'sheisin aroi chutz la-sukkah. Everybody can eat and drink something that's temporal, not a full-fledged kvias suda. They can eat that out of the sukkah. And the Gemara will explain exactly what that refers to. Now the Gemara asks regarding the first halacha that the Mishnah mentions, is regarding that shluchi mitzvah, those who are already engaged, they're already oisig in the mitzvah, then they're exempt from the mitzvah sukkah, menonimili. From where do we know this halacha, which is a general halacha, which has a context in our halacha of sukkah, but where do you know that when you're already engaged in one mitzvah, that you're exempt from fulfilling another mitzvah? So the Gemara brings the term, like we learned the braisa. It's a pasuk of devarim that starts off, v'shenantim levenecha, v'dibarta bam, and you will speak regarding it, which is a reference to the parasha of Kriyishma, b'shivtecha b'veisecha, when you're sitting in your house. So on that, the Braisa says, prat lo isig b'mitzvah, that exempts someone that's already involved in the mitzvah, where such a person does not have to recite Kriyishma, which the Gemara will explain later. Where do you see from the words that you have to say Kriyishma when you're sitting in your house, that would exempt someone that's engaged already in the mitzvah? And then the pasuk continues, uvelechtecha v'derech, that you also have to say Kriyishma when you're on your way, on the road, which is prat l'chasen, that exempts a groom. Now, as Rashi alludes, the question that although the chasen is also engaged in a mitzvah, we still needed two psukim, one b'shivtecha b'veisecha to exempt a general person that's involved in the mitzvah, and then specifically uvelechtecha v'derech to say that even a chasen who is engaged in a mitzvah is going to be exempt from the other mitzvahs. Because had it only said one pasuk, so since it's not explicitly saying in the pasuk a reference to a chasen, I would have thought to say that the pasuk only exempts a person by the fact that the virtue that he's engaged already in one mitzvah, that he's exempt from another mitzvah, like that of Kriyishma, is only if he's either engaged by an action, or if, let's say, he's on the road to go do a mitzvah. But a chasen, who, he's not doing anything, he's just sitting and just idling, and he's not engaged, the only thing is that he's torahed, he's perturbed, he's busy, his thought processes are engaged, his thoughts are, regards to how he's going to consummate his marriage. Now, maybe such a person, the pasuk would not have exempted. That's why we need another pasuk to say that not only is it when a person is actively engaged in a mitzvah behaviorally with an action that you're already oisik in a mitzvah, so you're exempt from another mitzvah like that of Kriyishma, but even someone like a chasen, who the only thing that he's engaged is mentally with the thought of consummating his marriage regarding the act of intercourse with his kala, on that, we're even saying that is going to be an exemption, prat l'chasen, that even that is going to be included in v'lechtecha v'derech, will follow along the theme of b'shivtecha b'veisecha. It's only someone that's just sitting or that's going on the road. But if he's engaged in a mitzvah, even that of a machshava, not of just a ma'isa, even that would be considered a mitzvah, patam in a mitzvah. Now, so on that, the Rashi says, mekan amar, from here is where they said that a kainis es habsula pater, someone that's marrying a virgin, he's going to be exempt from the chiyuv of Kriyishma. V'salman l'chayev. However, if he's marrying a widow who has already been married once before, then such a person is going to be chayiv in the halachas of Kriyishma. Now, the Gemara will later on explain why is there a discrepancy between those two. Both of them are considered oisik b'mitzvah, both consummated in the marriage, fulfilling the mitzvah in the Torah. But first, the Gemara asks, my mashma. First, as in the general concept of the Braisa, where do you see from these pesukim, b'shivtecha b'veisecha, which is in general, and then b'lechtecha v'derech, which is specific to a chasen, even though he's not engaged in with an action, just with his machshava, where do you see that it's exempting someone that's already engaged in a mitzvah that he will not have to say Kriyishma? So Rav Huna says, k'derech, because when it's saying in the pasuk it's equating them when it says to say that one is only obligated if it's like the road, which means to say when someone's on this road to do business, which is just like when someone's on the road. Why is he on the road? He's on the road to do business. It's something that's voluntary. So av kol rishu, so too anyone else that's going to be mechuyiv in krishma, which is what the pasuk's saying, you have to say it v'dibar tibam when you're sitting in your home or when you're belech to chavaderech. Then there's talking about someone that's doing something voluntary, lafuke hai be mitzvah asik, which is excluding these individuals that since they're engaged in a mitzvah, not on just vaderech, on going on the road, taking care of the things that they chose to take care of. Rather, it's something that's a commandment from Hashem. Such a person is already engaged in mitzvah, that person is going to be exempt from the other mitzvah, that of krishma. However, the Gemara asks on this, are we not talking about, in other words, can we not include in the pasuk's term of derech that there's both a derech of a mitzvah and a derech of rishus? Isn't it talking about the ka'az l'gvar mitzvah that the pasuk just says, when you're going on the road? Now, going on the road, where do you see in that it's just that you're going on the road to, let's say, to do business or take care of things that you chose to take care of? Cannot it be also talking about that you're on the road to do a mitzvah? And yet, v'ka'am rachman likri, and still the pasuk tells you that you have to read the parsha of Kriyishma, but the bar tabam, v'lech t'chavayarach, could be also on the road to do a mitzvah. So how can we say that an oisik b'mitzvah is part of a mitzvah because we compare it to derech? What do you mean derech doesn't say anything that's just rishos? You could be on the road to go do a mitzvah. Let's say you're going to visit your rebbe on the yomtiv, which is a mitzvah. And yet still the pasuk is telling you b'dibar tabam that oisik b'mitzvah would not be part of a mitzvah of saying Kriyishma. But now the Gemara answers, im kain, if it would be like you're trying to propose that u'belech t'chav derech would be even someone that's going on the road to do a mitzvah, then le makra b'sheves u'beleches, then the pasuk should have written without a chav sofet, without an end of chav. It should have said, b'debartabam, b'sheves b'beisecha, u'beleches b'derech. Why is it, my b'shevetech u'belech t'chav? Why does it say, in your sitting, in your going? What's that coming to say? It's only in your going that you're obligated to go ahead and recite Kriyishma. However, when you're going the road to do a mitzvah, then you're going to be exempt. And you're right, so although the word derech is benign in the sense that it could be used both for mitzvah and for rishus, and the fact that it uses endachav, that itself indicates that it's only b'shivtecha, v'lechtecha, things that you're doing for yourself, then you're going to be chayiv to recite Kriyishma. But if it's the for the leches and the sheves of Hashem, then one's already oisik b'mitzvah, then someone's going to be pater from the mitzvah, which in this case is going to be exempt from the parasha of Kriyishma. And again, that's a similar concept we're saying in that Mishnah, that if you're already a shluchei mitzvah, you're going to be pater from the chiyah, from the mitzvah of Kriyishma. But the Gemara asks, ihachi, if that's the case, that we're talking about there's an exemption of someone that's busy with the mitzvah, afilakoyne salmona nami, then even someone that marries salmona should also be exempt from reciting Kriyishma because he's also oisik b'mitzvah. What's the difference if it's a basula or a salmona? So that the Gemara explains that koyne says a basula tarit. Someone that's marrying a virgin, he's busy, he's trying to figure it out how to consummate the marriage because of the fact that there is basulim, which is unique to a virgin that's the first time that she's getting married. Now, as Rash explains, it's logical to say that if the Torah is exempting you from doing a mitzvah because you're already oisik in the previous mitzvah, it's only because you're busy, you're preoccupied, and hence you can't fully engage in both mitzvahs at the same time because you're it's going to be removing and detracting from the first mitzvah that you're engaged in. Whereas kain salman leitarit, you're right, marrying an alman is also a mitzvah. However, the person is not preoccupied, he could easily fulfill both mitzvahs, just like if someone's wearing tzitzis. There's no problem about fulfilling other mitzvahs. You don't say, oh, you're oisik b'mitzvah, because yes, you're going to be, you're engaged in fulfilling the mitzvah, but it's not taking anything away from you if you're going to engage in another mitzvah. Therefore, it's really two criteria. One is the criteria of a mitzvah, and another criteria is that also there has to be tirdim. Now, however, the Gemara in the question now asks, which the Gemara is assuming now from the way it answered the difference between basula and almana, that the main criteria is that if there's a tirda, if you're preoccupied, then how are you going to go ahead and fulfill the mitzvah, let's say, of Kriyishma properly? You can't. So therefore, the Gemara asks, v'cholhecha detard hachanami depater, is that really so, that wherever you're preoccupied, that means you're going to be exempt from the mitzvah because that means you cannot properly focus on the coming mitzvah? And that is because there's two ways of viewing the idea of being oisik b'mitzvah that you're tarred in. Either it could be because you're going to be tracting from the mitzvah that you're already engaged in, Or it could be that, no, you're preoccupied, you're not going to be able to properly fulfill the new mitzvah, the second mitzvah, let's say in this case that of Krishma properly, because you're tired, you're preoccupied, you can't properly recite Krishma. So the Gemara assumed that when they said that the difference between the Pasula and Almana is that Almana, you could properly say Krishma because you can focus. A Basula that you're preoccupied with, the Basulam that only a Basula has, that you won't be able to properly focus. So the Gemara asked, Ilamiyata, if that's the case, so Tavis Vinasu Bayam the Tarid, so when someone has his ship that sinks at the sea, where he's definitely preoccupied, he can't think, his mind is swimming all over the place. So Hachinami, you can see here also, where he's also preoccupied in his pain, the pot is going to be exempt from saying Krishma because he's Tarid, he can't properly focus. Now, V'chitei Mahachinami, if you're going to say that actually is the case, that it's just like the case of a Basula because he can't properly focus, but V'amr, Baba Brazab Domarav, he says, Avul Chayiv B'chala Mitzvah Samus Batayra, a mourner is obligated in all the mitzvahs that are written in the Torah. Chutz min ha-tefillin, there's one exception, that's the one of tefillin. Shari nema ben pe'er, because regarding tefillin, as the Gemara will later explain, it says the term pe'er, which is the splendor, and an avala mourner is not someone of that should be showcasing splendor at this time, because when he shows that he's displaying this splendor, he's showing himself like he's not a mourner, and he is, and he shouldn't be contradicting that by wearing tefillin. However, all the other mitzvahs, the Aval is mechuyev now. Aval is definitely someone that's in a lot of pain. They just lost a very close relative. And yet still we see that the person is obligated in all the mitzvahs, including Kriya Shema. So you see that even if you're tarid, you can go ahead and recite Kriya Shema. So the question then becomes, what's the difference then? If someone's ship that sinks at sea, where he's obligated in saying Kriya Shema, why is that different than the Basula? So now the Gemara answers, because Hacho, over here by the Chasen, Tarid tirdid the mitzvah, as we mentioned, as we alluded to this before, that there's two criteria. It's not just that you're tarid, it's also that you're tarid, you're preoccupied with a mitzvah. And on that, the pasuk is telling you that you don't have to remove yourself from the thoughts that you're preoccupied with and engage with from the first mitzvah because of the new mitzvah that you could force yourself and be able to focus no matter what it is that you're engaged in. However, we're saying that no, look, your preoccupation that's you have to choose one or the other, is already with a mitzvah. So continue doing that mitzvah that you're doing and do that proficiently and efficiently the way you were doing it before, which in the case of a chasen, that's marrying Basula, means to don't say Krishma, keep on focusing on your ability to consummate your marriage properly. However, Hasam, Tarat Tirdid Rishul, is there when his ship sinks at sea or in the case of an oval. That is something that is preoccupied, which is voluntary. Now, as Rashi explains, although an oval is obligated in certain mitzvahs of mourning, which is taking off shoes, not bathing, not anointing, to show honor for the one who has passed away, however, he's not obligated in pain. And that is, although he's preoccupied in his tzar, that's not a chiv. And therefore, you have to go ahead and take yourself out of that to be able to properly fulfill the mitzvah that's coming your way, be it Kriya Shema, be it any other mitzvah. However, by a chasen with a basula, since that's already a preoccupation with a mitzvah, that we don't say yet you have to remove yourself from the new mitzvah, and therefore since you're oisig b'mitzvah, which in the case of an action, most definitely you can't do two actions at one time, but even a chasen, that's just a machshava, however, since he's already engaged, and it's necessary for that thought to be able to fulfill his mitzvah properly, we don't require him to take that away, to go ahead and do a new mitzvah, specifically in this context, the mitzvah of Krishma. Now, the Gemara asks now on the general halach. So we have a source for the halach of our Mishnah that we see shluchi mitzvah. Someone that's engaged in a mitzvah is potter from another mitzvah. Again, in the case of our Mishnah, that of the mitzvah of sukkah, as we find by regular mitzvah and by a chasen, that of machshava, he wouldn't have to say krishma. Now, the Gemara asks, "Va'isik b'mitzvah potter b'mitzvah mahachanafka?" Is it really true, as the Gemara just illustrated this from the Braisa, that if someone's engaged in the mitzvah, he's an exempt from a mitzvah from b'shivtecha b'veisecha, and for chasen b'lechtecha b'derech. But mahasim nafka, we learn that from somewhere else. And therefore, why do we need two sources for this halacha? The Talmud learned the Braisa. It's pasuk b'midbar, which talks about the carbon pesach that they brought in the midbar, which was in the second year when they left Mitzrayim. So it says there in the pasuk, however, there were people that were ritually impure because of the contact they came in with a corpse, with a dead person. So such people weren't able to bring the Pesach, and therefore they had to bring Pesach Sheni. Now, the Braisa asks, who were these people that were tummy at the time that they had to bring the Karban Pesach? Again, not when they left when they left Mitzrayim, which was by the 15th of Nisan, but rather the following year when they were making the first Korban Pesach after Mitzrayim. So who were they? So we have a few different interpretations. The first opinion says, Nisi Aroina Shel Yosef Hayu. These were those who carried the coffin of Yosef. Basically, that's the opinion, basically, that they took the bones of Yosef out. Those people came to me when they did that. Those were the ones that were ritually impure. Continue on to Amad Beis. Rabbi Kiva, he says, Mishal Vel Tzafin Hayu. The Shehayu Eiskim and Nadav Aviyu, as the story was, that Nadav Aviyu went and sacrificed an Eish Dara in front of Hashem, and they were killed, and someone had to carry them out from the area of the Kaidish. So and that was Mishal Vel Tzafin, their relatives, they became impure when they took them out. They were the ones that were tamei. Rav Yitzchok Gemer, he argues on both of them, and he says, "If you're telling me like Rabbi Yisrael Galili that it was those who had carried the coffin of Yosef, they had ample time to have been tar. They wouldn't have been tamei by the time a year after they left Mitzrayim when there was time to bring the Korban Pesach and the Midbar. And if Mishal Vel Tzafin, and if you tell me like Rabbi Kiva that was Mishal Vel Tzafin, also chelun harle tar. They also had enough time to become tar, as Rashi explains." On the first of Nisan was when the Mishkan was erected. Now, on the second day of that month, a day later, was when Elazar went and burnt the Paraduma to make the ashes for a Paraduma to be able to spray on those who became Tamei Meis so that whoever was Tamei could be able to bring their Korban Pesach in a state of purity. As the Gemara says, Masechtas Gittin, Daf Samach Amud Aleph, that there were eight different parashas that were said on the day that the Mishkan was erected. And one of them was the parasha Paraduma, and it was the following day that they actually made the Paraduma. Now, the first of Nisan was the day when the Mishkan was erected, which is the eighth day, which was what's called Shemini L'Meluim, the eighth day of when they had been preparing the Mishkan. As the Gemara says, Masech L'Shabbos, that day took 10 crowns, and that was the same day that Nadav Aviyu had passed away. Now, so therefore, what Rabbi Yitzchok was saying was from Rish Chodesh until Pesach, which is 14, 15 days, there was enough time for them to become tar. Now, yet the Pasuk says, V'lo yachol, that whoever these people were not able to become tar. Now, and most definitely, those who carried the Aron of Yosef, they for sure had enough time to become tar, because it had already been 10 months since they carried the coffin of Yosef when they had settled in Har Chayriv. Har Chayriv, they came to the area of Har Sinai, which was by Resh Chedesh Sivan. As the Pasuk says, Bayim Hazel Ba Midbar Sinai. And they didn't leave from Har Sinai until the 20th of Iyar the following year, as the Pasuk says. It was in the Bashan Hashenis Bachedesh Shein Be'esam Achedesh Na'al O'ha'onon Me'al V'gaymer V'yisim Har Hashem. So they were at Har Sinai for a long time, which went through the Yom Tov Pesach. And therefore, what Rabbi Yitzchok was asking is, he doesn't understand the two of the Peshatim, if it's the Mishal Vat Safim because of Nadva Aviyu, so that was on the first of Nisan. The second of Nisan, the Paradim was made, they have enough time for the 7 days to become tar till the 14th of Nisan. And if it's those who carried the Aron of Yosef, it's already been months and months since they became Tamei, for sure they would be tar. So rather, Elahi says a different shot. Who it was that was Tamei at the time of the first Pesach? Eiskin b'mes mitzvah. It was people that were engaged in the mes mitzvah. Now Rashi says, although generally the term mes mitzvah means to say a corpse that is a mitzvah corpse that has no one, no relatives, or no one that's around to bury him. Here Rashi says it doesn't mean specifically that there was no one around. It means even their relatives are called meis mitzvah because it's a mitzvah to involve oneself in burying one's relative, as those which are mentioned in the pasuk of Yirka Chaf Aleph, which are the seven close relatives that even the kohen becomes tamei to bury them. So someone had buried, let's say, a relative of his that had died 7 days before Pesach. Shechal shvi shlehen liyis b'erev Pesach, that the seventh day came out to be on Erev Pesach. Now, so although that would make that person eligible to be eating the Korban Pesach on the evening, because then you already have sundown that evening, and then you're fit. However, Rashi explains that this opinion of Rabbi Yitzchok is going like that opinion mentioned in the Machlekes of Masechet Pesachim that holds that Ein Sheich de Mezerkin al Tamei Sheretz. We're not allowed to slaughter and throw the blood of the Korban Pesach for someone that's a Tamei Sheretz that came in contact with a Sheretz, although he'll become Tahar by the evening time, but right now, when the time of the Shechit and Zerik is, he's Tamei, we don't allow such a person to have the Korban Pesach brought for such a person. And therefore, they had to bring the Pesach Sheni. So Rabbi Yitzchok backs it up that it was specifically such a case that the seventh day was on Erev Pesach, and therefore although he's going to be tar that night, they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk in Midbar, it says, V'lo yochlu lasa Pesach b'yim ha'hu. It says, regarding these individuals, whoever it was that their relative had died, says they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach that day. So the diak he makes is, b'yim ha'hu enuchen lasas. It was only that day that they couldn't bring the Korban Pesach. halamacher, had it been tomorrow, yichon lasses, then they could have done it, because that would have been already the eighth day, where they really have been tahar. And therefore, that's the interpretation of Yitzchok, says that who it was that was tamei was not able to bring the Karban Pesach. However, one thing that the Gemara is using from this b'raisa that we see is that someone that's isig b'mitzvah is patur from the mitzvah. Why? Because like Rabbi Yitzchok said, these people became tamei when they buried their relatives 7 days before Pesach. Now, that's in spite of the fact that whoever it was that was burying his relative knew that that means the seventh day, which is going to be Erev Pesach, he's going to still be tamei, and he's not going to be able to bring the Karban Pesach. So obviously, you see from this that even when you have a lower level mitzvah, that if you're engaged in it or it comes your way, that you don't have to say that no, you can't be oisik in this mitzvah, because there's a greater mitzvah, that of Karban Pesach, which is Karis, that for sure you're going to have to push away and not bury your relative, because you don't say oisik mitzvah potem in the mitzvah. You would have to find a way to fulfill the mitzvah of Karban Pesach. We don't say that. We say go ahead, engage in that, because that will exempt you. You won't be considered that you're violating the chiyuv of Karban Pesach because of isig b'mitzvah, patur in the mitzvah. So why do we need to learn that off from the Shevetuch b'Veisachom, that it's only when you're doing your own things, but not when you're doing Hashem's things, because then you'll be isig b'mitzvah, patur in the mitzvah. If we know it from this pasuk of Bayemahu, that in spite of the fact that they knew that they're not going to be able to bring the Karban Pesach, that was okay, because they were isig in the mitzvah, no matter what mitzvah, makes them exempt from the other mitzvah, which is the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, because they knew when they're bearing, they're not going to be able to bring it. So why do you need the other pasuk b'shevetuch b'veisach? So that the Gemara says tzricha. We actually needed both of these limudim, because the iashmin hasam, had we only had the limud of bayomahu, that of Karban Pesach, mishum deloy mata zman chiyuv the Pesach. That's because when they became tamei, yes, maybe Karban Pesach is a much greater iser, but it didn't reach the time of Karban Pesach yet, because it was 7 days before. So then we say that, look, if the mitzvah comes your way, you don't have to say that we're not going to do this mitzvah because of a later greater mitzvah, you do it now. Aval hacha, but regarding here by Kriyishma, the Matazman Kriyishma, where in the time of the chuppah, it's the time for saying Kriyishma, and this chasin, he's eligible, he's viable to say Kriyishma. Emaloi, I would think to say that no, that he would be obligated in reciting Kriyishma, because we don't say Isig mitzvah, patam in the mitzvah. We only say let's become Pesach, where that other mitzvah didn't come yet. Then we'll say, look, engage, and look, if you won't be able to, then you won't be able to. But here, where it's coming right now, that he has a choice, then you don't say Isig mitzvah, patam in the mitzvah. Tzricha, that's where we have to say also, the limud of b'shevetuch b'veisecha, that even if that's coming right now, you still say Isig mitzvah, patam in the mitzvah, and we allow you to bypass that mitzvah of Kriyishma. Now, v'yesh min hacha, but had we only said it b'shevetuch b'veisach v'lechtuch v'aderech, regarding the mechiv, let's say that of a chasim, is mishum deleka karis, because ultimately the mitzvah of Kriyishma, if one does not recite Kriyishma, there's no punishment of karis. And therefore, maybe over there we say that, look, if you're oisik b'mitzvah, even that of a chasim, when you're just tarred b'machshava, we'll say that you don't have to do any other mitzvah. Aval Hassam, but over there by the mitzvah Karban Pesach, the Ikka Karis, where there if one does not fulfill that mitzvah, you get a punishment of Karis Emaloi. I would think to say that you don't say that you should become Tamei 7 days before Pesach. Don't, because we don't say Oysa mitzvah by the mitzvah. You are obligated, although it didn't come yet, you're obligated in the mitzvah of Karban Pesach, and hence you should not be involved in the mitzvah that's not going to let you fulfill the chiyuv of Karban Pesach. Tzricha, that's why he had to write by Yemahu to say that no, they were allowed to go ahead and be metame themselves within 7 days of Pesach, because we do say Isaac mitzvah patam in the mitzvah, even from a mitzvah like a chiv of karis, because no matter what it is, if you're fulfilling a mitzvah, you will be potter, and not just that you're not fulfilling it from the later mitzvah, even when there's a chiv of karis. Now the Gemara goes back, Gufa, we mentioned Omer Aleph, the following halacha, Omer Baba Bazav Domer Rav. He said, "Avul chayev b'chol mitzvah zamurus b'Torah." Says that a mourner is obligated in all the mitzvahs that are mentioned in the Torah. Chutz mitfilin, the one exception is the mitzvah of tefillin. Sharinem ben pe'er, because it says regarding tefillin, splendor. Now the Gemara explains that halacha. Midu amalei rachman liyecheskel, from the fact that Hashem said to Yecheskel, which it's a pasuk in Yecheskel that says, "Pe'er chochav v'sholecha v'goymer," that your splendor should be tied on you. Now this is in reference where Hashem told Yecheskel, he says, look, I'm going to take away the machmed einecha, I'm going to take away the desire of your eyes, which was a reference to his wife, b'magefa, in a plague, However, Hashem told him, although she's going to die, I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to mourn her. I want you even to still have pe'er chachav v'shal reshech. I want you to even have your tefillin, your pe'er, tied onto your head, which was a siman for him that it won't be like regular mourners when people do mourn, because he wanted to show through him that sign to the Jewish people that ultimately the Jewish people will also be dying, and there won't be anyone that will be mourning those who pass away, and because everyone's going to be engaged in death and in mourning. So therefore we see that, however, but ultimately that regular mourners are forbidden to be wearing tefillin. And that's what the message was, that atu demechayeves, you, I want you to wear tefillin, which is unlike regular mourners, because abu kuli am patiri. However, generally everyone else is patur, as we said, because pe'er is something that is not fitting for someone that's supposed to be having afer, which is the same letters as pe'er. He's supposed to be mourning, not having splendor. And however, that was the message we learned from Yechezkel, that you're the exception, that you're not going to be properly mourning, because I'm going to show the Jewish people of what's going to be happening to them, that no one's going to be mourning anyone when they die. Now, however, v'hanem mili b'yem rishon. However, when did we say this, that he shouldn't be wearing tefillin? That's on the first day when he's in Avol, because the primary bitterness is on the first day. The Chassam, like I said, the Pasuk in Amos says, v'achrisa and har en, which is a reference to the Jewish people, kiyemar is like the bitter day, which is one day. That's the first day when the death happens, when the first day a person's in Avol. That's when the person shouldn't be wearing tefillin. But after that, the Avol is mechuyev in all mitzvahs, including the mitzvah of tefillin. Now, continuing along this theme about an Avol, and from the same Amora, the Gemara says, v'amar abba brazav d'amar rav, he says, Avol chayev besukkah. A mourner is obligated in sitting in the sukkah. So Gemara's pshita, it's pretty obvious. Why should the mitzvah of the sukkah be any different than any other mitzvahs? Where Rav already told us that Avol is chayev in all the mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, ma'ad tema, I would have thought to say that Hoyelvo Amar Abba Bar Zabdom Rav, where he told us a different halacha, that mitzdar patim na sukkah, that there's a halacha unique to halacha of sukkah, where someone that's in pain is exempt from sitting in the sukkah. So hai nami mitzdarhu, the mourner is also in pain. He's in pain over the person that passed away. Kamash Mulan, that's the chiddush that he's telling us, that hanamili tzar dimemela. What type of pain that you consider a mitzdar makes you exempt from the sukkah? That's a pain that comes by itself. In other words, that it's the elements of the sukkah that's paining him. For example, it's too hot, it's too cold, there's a smell because of the things that are there in the schach. That's considered that the mitzvah of sukkah is being mitzar you. That's a mitzdar that's part of the sukkah. But here he himself is paining himself. It's not the elements that's a stimuli or that's a triggering him. It's himself that's paining himself. He has to, there's an obligation on him to calm himself down, to properly fulfill a mitzvah. As we said before, that although a mourner does mourn and he's in a lot of pain, but that's not actual mitzvah. And therefore when it comes time to do a mitzvah, which in this case would be the mitzvah of sukkah, he would have to have the proper frame of mind to be able to fulfill his mitzvah properly, the mitzvah of the sukkah. Continuing along the similar theme, from the same Amayir, V'amir b'abba b'azav d'marav, he says, Chasen, a groom, v'ashrush binan, and these are the groomsmen, these are the people that are assist the groom, v'chol b'nei ha-chupa, and all the people involved by the chupa, p'turim in ha-sukkah kol shiva, they're exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah all 7 days of sukkah. My time is like, what's the reason? Why should they be exempt from the mitzvah sukkah? Because they have to rejoice together with the chasen, and therefore they're engaged already in that mitzvah. But the Gemara asks, "V'lechlu b'sukkah, v'lechtu b'sukkah." What's wrong? Why is that a contradiction, mutually exclusive, to say that, look, you're already engaged in that mitzvah, but you're always wearing tzitzis too. That doesn't mean you can't do other mitzvahs. Why can't they eat in the sukkah and rejoice in the sukkah, and then they fulfill both mitzvahs together? And that the Gemara says, no, ain't simcha el b'chuppah. The proper rejoicing is only in the chuppah, and that's not in the sukkah. So the Gemara asks, okay, fine, but v'lechli b'sukkah, let them eat in the sukkah, which is the things they're obligated to do. V'lechli b'chuppah, when it comes time for rejoicing, then let them rejoice in the chuppah. So that the Gemara answers, ain't simcha el b'makom suda. No, they can't do that, because although the rejoicing is by the chuppah, the rejoicing is only in the place where you're eating too. We have a festive meal. And therefore, they can't do the eating in the sukkah and the rejoicing in the chuppah. But then the Gemara asks, but v'lev the chuppah b'sukkah. Why don't you make the chuppah in the sukkah? In other words, make the area where the wedding celebration for Sheva Brachas is, for that week, make it in the sukkah. So then you'll have the simcha will be in the chuppah, and then the eating will be where the simcha is in the chuppah. It'll be in one place. So the Gemara gives two reasons why you can't make the chuppah in the sukkah. And since it has to be a separate place, and therefore, since there's only simcha where there's the suda, and since you can't have the chuppah in the sukkah, so then you have to eat in the chuppah, and that's why they're all exempt from the mitzvah of the sukkah. Abayam, he says, mishum yichud. We're concerned about the halacha of when there's a yichud, when there's a separation, a seclusion of a man and a woman, where, as Rashi says, generally they used to make their sukkahs on top of their roofs. Now, people don't generally come in and out from such an area secluded like a roof. Now, because what could happen is that maybe the chassan is going to have to come down to take care of his needs, and then someone else is coming to fulfill his chiv of a sukkah, and then the kal is there, and there's going to be seclusion over there, because that's a private area that people don't generally come to. Because of that concern, we said we're not going to make the chuppah where the sukkah is, because of that concern that the chassan might leave, and some other man might come, and they're going to be secluded, violating this isser. That's why we cannot make the chuppah in the place where the sukkah. Rav Amar, he says, Mishum Tzar Chasen. He says, the reason why we don't make the sukkah, the chuppah, where the sukkah is because of the pain of the groom, because it's a very narrow place, and moreover, it's actually open because there's only three walls for the sukkah, and therefore he's embarrassed to go ahead and be misameach and joke around with his kala, which is what he's doing now that they just got married. So because of that tzar that he's going to have to suffer, we don't want to make the chuppah where the sukkah is, and again, therefore, since he's potter, so everyone that's has to be with him to make him rejoice, they're all exempt from the sukkah. So the Gemara says, "My Benai, what's the difference between these two reasons, if it's because of Yichud or Tzar Chasen?" The Gemara says, "Benai, the difference between them would be the Shchichi Inchi, the Nafkiv Ayil Hasim, if it's a place where it is common for people to be coming in and out. So therefore, Lamanda Amishum Yichud Leka, according to the one that says that the concern would be that people that the Kala would be secluded with a man, there's no such concern, is because it's an open area, people are coming in and out. However, the one who says that because there's pain for the chasen, then there would be because, first of all, it's still narrow, and second of all, then all the more so, people are coming in and out, and he's embarrassed to just have schik with his kala, and that's why that would still be an exemption according to that interpretation. However, the Gemara does bring that Amr B'Zeira, he says, Ano achli b'sukkah, says, I ate in the sukkah, v'chadi b'chuppah, and I rejoiced in the chuppah, and all the more so that I rejoiced, the kavin natarti, because I did two mitzvahs. Although the Gemara before mentioned that everyone's going to be exempt because there's only simcha b'makom suda, he says no. When I was a chassan, to the contrary, that I was happy the way I did it. That there was a chuppah and there was a sukkah. I ate in the sukkah and then I went to rejoice with my kal in the chuppah. So I fulfilled two mitzvahs: the sukkah and the mitzvah of nisuin. Now Rashi, however, clarifies. Obviously, what was talking about was that he got married before the yom tov sukkahs. However, on Yom Tov itself, the Gemara Moed Katan tells us, one is not allowed to marry a woman on the Yom Tov, so it means that he got married before, and then through Sheva Brachas, he would go eat in the Sukkah, and then he would rejoice in the Chuppah. Now, related to this, the Gemara says, Tarban Lina Braisa. So, Chasen, as we said before, the groom, the Hashrash Binan, and the groomsmen, the Chol B'nei Chuppah, and all those who are involved in the Simcha of the Chuppah, Peturin Min HaTzvila. So they're all exempt from davening, because davening requires kavana, and these people don't have that. Uminat tefillin, they're also exempt from wearing tefillin, because since it's common to have people would get drunk and levity, that's not appropriate for tefillin. And since that's what they're eating, they already have that, they're engaged that by the chuppah. And mechayavim mekriyishma, however, they are obligated in kriyishma, because the mitzvah of kriyishma, of having kavana, is really only the first pasuk. For that small amount of time, they could focus properly to be able to recite their first pasuk, and therefore that they are mechuyevin. However, the Gemara continues in Tabach of Manalev, Mishum Reb Shilo Amru, he says still chasen pater. The chasen would still be pater from Krishma, even the first pasuk, because he is tardy, he is preoccupied. However, v'hashashbinim, chob b'nei chob b'chayovin, however, yes, regarding the shashbinim and all the other people of the chuppah, they are chayiv in reciting Krishma, because for that one pasuk, they're not involved in consummating their marriage, they're just involved in the simcha, for one pasuk they could focus on. Now, however, Rashi explains, obviously, that must be that these tanoim that we're quoting in this braisa do not hold to the concept of ishik b'mitzah, patim b'mitzah, because if you held to that concept, then you would be putter from all these mitzvahs, no matter what it is, because even if you could focus, that's not a chiyuv, because you're engaged in one mitzvah and you don't have to remove your thought to be able to do another one. It just must be because it's not possible. Where that's what Tosfos explains, that the chassan, although he's also going to be obligated another mitzvah, because you don't say isik mitzvah by the mitzvah according to these opinions. However, he just cannot properly focus on even the first pasuk because he's so tired, he's so preoccupied. So it's not an exemption because of Ezer Mitzah, just because he won't be able to properly focus. But the rest of the people of the Chuppah, they could focus, they could. And if you could, then you have to, because they hold that there is no exemption of Ezer Mitzah, Padam Mitzah. It's just the things that, let's say, like Tefillin, where they're shikra, so we don't want them to be putting on Tefillin. Or Tefillah, which requires a lot of focus, and they don't have that. That's just an exemption by default of the situation that they're in, but not because of Eisu Mitzvah, Patamina Mitzvah.